I have to, baby. Daddy has to.
Hello, welcome to episode 104 of Popcorn and Prosecco. Perry's away this week, but we have me, Christy Puchko, our co-host Angie Han.
Hello.
And we brought in a special guest, Rebecca Polly.
Hello.
So today we're going to discuss a hot topic, and then we're going to dive right into an in-depth review of Zootopia. So first, our hot topic. Angie, take it.
All right, so the new Ghostbusters trailer premiered today. This is the Paul Feig movie that stars the quote-unquote all-female Ghostbusters, which is Leslie Jones, Kate McKinnon, Kristen Wiig, and Melissa McCarthy. There's been a lot writing on this trailer, and the fact that I think the trailer will, like, that the trailer premiered so late had a lot of people kind of anxious about what's this movie going to be like. And I'm glad to say that it looks pretty fun. I mean, it's not really that surprising. I guess at this point we shouldn't really be surprised that Paul Feig knows how to direct a goddamn movie, because the last few movies he's done have all been pretty solid. But at the same time, you know, it's a little bit of new territory for him. So it was really exciting.
You allude to part of the fact that people were like, you know, there's a lot riding on this, is not just that it is a reboot slash remake, which it's not really, of one of the biggest franchises ever. It's like one of the most beloved 80s movies, I guess. It's, you know, the fact that it's all female fronted caused a big upstir, and, you know, people are being like, that whole, like, my childhood is being destroyed, whatever, as if this movie being created actually nullifies that the other one exists somehow. I really like this trailer. I think that it set up the characters in a way that makes them distinctive and interesting, not just from the old characters, but just as characters in and unto themselves. I feel like watching the trailer, you get a feel for who these four women are, and we get a little bit of eye candy of Chris Hemsworth kicking down a door, which I was into.
Can I just talk about that, though? That, the Chris Hemsworth thing, like, you watch the trailer, and at the end of it, I was like, did we only have one shot of a guy and he wasn't even allowed to talk?
Your exact word. Then you and I talked offline or online about this, about how it basically felt like, oh, so this is how men get to feel, how women get to feel when we go watch trailers and not a single woman talks. She just gets stared at because, like, ooh, boobs.
Ooh, pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Hemsworth. But I think the internet seemed genuinely excited about it. There's already a lot of backlash about the trailer, but it's the expected backlash of, like, boo, girls, burl my childhood. The standout of the trailer is Kate McKinnon, who is just rocking cartoon Egon hair and, like, this sense of style that is just, I want it now.
Okay,
and
you know what, though? I looked at the Kate McKinnon characters, even in the posters, and I was like, oh, that's Christy. She looks like Christy. Okay, so
this is a huge compliment.
See, I was thinking, like, the comic book artist Rob Liefeld, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but, like, he always draws this very distinctive, like, horrible 80s hairdo on people. So that's where my brain went, so it kind of ruined it.
Interesting.
So we have one pro and one con.
But she's very funny in this, and she doesn't have a lot to do in the trailer, but I still think she's just great at stealing kind of the vibe of it. And Kate McKinnon can take a character that's completely bonkers and make them weirdly, like, you're able to empathize with them. Like, I think of the SNL character who was, like, abducted by aliens and talks about them knocking around her knockers. It's absurd, but you're on board. So, like, I feel like she really nailed it. The internet was exploding with gifs of her today because she just killed it. So this has me really excited. The thing I think that people have a valid criticism about as far as this trailer is, it's not a particularly funny trailer. There's a couple of laugh lines. Like, I personally like "May the power of pain compel you."
Power of Patty.
See, I thought she said that too, and then I'm seeing different things of what she said.
Well, she said Patty, and then I listened to it, and, like, I can hear both things, but if she said it's I like pain better, so I'm just kind of going with that.
Yeah.
In my headcanon is that it's pain.
The point is, like, I think those jokes work well, but it's not an especially funny trailer, but I don't think that's what this trailer was trying to do. I think it was trying to set up the world.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the talent involved is so good that I'm not gonna think that cast and that director are not gonna be funny. Like, that's not what they needed to prove. You know, I take that on face value. And I like that they showed that the trailer, the reboot or remake or reboot cool or whatever, is gonna be different than the original movie. Like, you have that whole thing with someone's using some whatever to amplify paranormal energy. Like, they're staking out their own territory plot-wise, in addition to the gender casting thing.
Yeah, like, it feels like it's carving out its own world, and I feel like that's what this trailer set out to do, and for me it really worked.
I mean, I think it's a promising start. There's still a lot of things that we don't really know. Like, he's never done, like, a horror comedy before, so we'll have to wait and see how it works out. But I think the trailer had me feeling pretty optimistic. It had me really eager to get to know these characters better. It had me, you know, really excited to dive into the world. And the ghosts look, like, actually pretty cool. I know there was, like, a lot of uproar recently because they revealed one of the villains and people were like, that looks stupid. Because, you know, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, you know, in contrast, looked gritty
also,
and realistic,
I guess. Also, we should always
look
to the toys to determine whether or not a movie's going to be worth watching.
Yeah, but overall, I think this trailer did, it sounds like we all agree that the trailer did exactly what it needed to do, which was kind of, you know, give people a taste of, like, this is what it's going to be like, and then leave them wanting to see more. So I think, are we all, yeah, agreed?
Yeah.
Yep.
I also want to throw in that I am totally on board for those people who are shipping Kate McKinnon and Kristen Wiig's characters. I like it.
I ship Marlene McKinnon and every single person who we've seen so far in that movie. The desk furniture. I don't even care.
You ship Kate McKinnon and desk furniture.
Every single pixel of that trailer at every single time.
You know what? Someone, knowing the internet, someone has already written a 30,000 word X-rated fan fiction about Kate McKinnon doing the office furniture.
Oh, you've
occurred
my work.
To me that this
you've
could be a segue to our next thing, and that makes me so uncomfortable.
Okay, we can talk about something else.
I basically, the other day, this is a true story. The other day I was looking for a header image for my Zootopia review, and I was scrolling down because I had an image from the movie I wanted to use, so I was scrolling for that, and I didn't scroll far before I hit not safe for work content from Zootopia, but inspired by, I guess, the trailers, because the movie's not even out yet. So if you're going to image search for Zootopia and you don't want to see horrific fan art that is just... Yeah.
Christy, I tried to give you an out so that wouldn't have to be your segue, but you doubled down. So
nope,
go
double
on.
Down. Because no one should see what I saw.
Talk
I was
about
just
ruining
like,
childhood.
Oh, colorful
right?
Disney things. Colorful what in God's name?
Let the furries live, Christy.
It was not
Can
a furry. We're not getting into it. I'm not going to get into it. I'm not judging furries. It wasn't that. We're not getting into it. It's fine. Sorry. Moving on.
Yes,
so, Zootopia. A hell of a way to Angie tried to stop me. Anyway,
Disney
Zootopia.
Okay, no more talk about furries from anyone. Let's talk about Zootopia on its own terms. Go on, Christy.
Yes, agreed. Okay, here is the plot synopsis of Zootopia. In a city of anthropomorphic animals, a fugitive con artist Fox and a rookie bunny cop must work together to uncover a conspiracy. Now,
I didn't know he was a fugitive.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, it's kind of how she is him over a barrel. It's kind of tricky, but.
No.
Anyway.
He's a
fugitive. There's not a great word for it. But anyway, he's a hustler. But I did not expect to like this movie because when I saw the initial trailers, my first thought was that it was going to be like fluffy, silly animal nonsense like Madagascar and Ice Age, which I'm not super into. So I was like, great, fine, whatever. Then there was a clip that came out a couple of weeks ago that piqued my interest, in which the bunny cop explains to another animal that only bunnies can call other bunnies cute. And I was like, what now? That, like, I thought that was kind of an interesting social commentary. Little did I know that beneath this surface level of buddy cop film noir comedy, is a whole discussion about race relations.
Let's go back for a second to where you were like, oh, bunny cop comedy film noir. The fact that it's a film noir is also yeah. just like pretty weird to begin with. I mean, I had higher hopes for this movie than you did, Chrissy, because unlike you, I actually have a heart, so I like that sloth clip.
Yes.
However,
I was underwhelmed by the sloth clip. I thought it was fine. I just
anyway.
Every time people saw it, they were like, oh my god, the sloth clip, and I was like, I guess, I don't know.
Okay.
It's a genuinely good detective story. I mean, I think, Christy, you were saying that you kind of, like, saw the twist coming.
The big final reveal, but we don't need to get into that right away.
Yeah.
But I
thought it was, like, a genuinely good detective story.
Yeah,
like,
I genuinely like the story. It's really just, I mean, it is a noir story for kids, so the fact that I picked out the twist is not, I don't think, a detriment to the story. But yeah, I'm sorry, you were talking about the noir aspect.
I was just saying that, like you, I wasn't really, you know, I was like, oh, it's going to be a cute little animal adventure. And then I was like, oh, it is a film noir for children about racism. That is, I think, the last thing any of us expected from what, you know, I can acknowledge. It looked like, oh, okay, it's like Madagascar. It's probably better because it's, you know, Disney's on a good roll. But still, like, yeah. And not only that, but it is actually really good at talking about racism, like surprisingly good. It's actually, I was thinking about it, and like we've seen a lot of movies about race, but most of them tend to be set in the past. And most of them tend to be from Black perspectives. This is the first movie that I can think of, especially one for children, that's about racism as it's kind of practiced and experienced today, and especially one that it comes from more of the perspective of the privileged people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really true, because there's like the main character, who is a bunny, experiences some form of prejudice in that she's the first bunny cop, and you see all the other cops and they are all very large and intimidating animals, be they elephant or water buffalo, voiced by Idris Elba, who is amazing in this. And like Rebecca tweeted that he's still sexy. She's right. Even as a water buffalo, I was into it, which I don't feel good about.
What about not talking about fucking animals in Zootopia anymore?
Okay. I
keep trying to steer you guys away from this conversation.
Just to accept the inevitable. And also, Judy's an affirmative action hire.
Yeah.
It's an interesting element.
Yeah, and so she and it's basically considered like a PR move, so they don't give her any actually important work to do, which she gets very frustrated by, because, you know, she didn't become a cop to write meter maid
tickets. She actually says at one point, she's like, I'm not just a token bunny.
Yeah, she's not. Oh, God.
And you could tell the theater was like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, it was funny watching it with a bunch of adults. I don't know if there were kids in our theater, but the adults were all like having these like, oh my God. And like, there's one point where she calls her fox like counterpart articulate.
Oh!
Like, yeah, there was stuff where I was like,
oh, man. And then
he says
something like, oh, it's so nice to meet a bunny who's not patronizing. And it, I mean, the movie is full of, I think that's what I liked about the movie, though, is that, like, I feel like a lot of movies that we've seen about racism are about much more overt racism. Whereas I feel like in the day-to-day, for a lot of people, the way that you kind of are racist against other people and have people be racist to you is by little microaggressions, things like that. Things like where someone calls you articulate and doesn't really understand why that's not okay. Where someone will, like, say you're cute or act like you only got to where you were because your skin is a certain color or you're a certain gender. It's not, like, nope, there aren't that many instances in the movie of someone, like, you know, it doesn't get real dark, it doesn't get real overt, but it's just little things like that. Like, there's a scene where the fox, like, pats a lamb's wool on her head, and he's just like, oh, it feels so nice, and you're just, and the bunny is horrified, and you're just
like, she's
like,
you can't just touch a lamb's wool.
Yeah, and so I love like that. I love that it had little things like that where it shows you like how, you know, like these little microaggressions that are the way that most people experience racism in their day to day lives. But at the same time, it actually goes beyond that too, because I think it has some really interesting things to say about, like, it doesn't shy away from the fact that I think everyone has some prejudice and some stereotypes kind of bouncing around in their heads. Like, no matter how hard you try to be a good person and try not to be a racist and try not to be prejudiced, you kind of have these ingrained prejudices. And I think the movie does a really good job of showing you kind of how to deal with that, which is by trying to be a decent person, trying to be empathetic, and owning up when you fuck up, which I think is the most important thing in this movie.
Totally. And I also like that because they have characters who are the good guy characters have these microaggressions, yep, and have these moments where they really profoundly fuck up occasionally. It made it seem like having an ignorant moment or saying something shitty doesn't necessarily make you a bad guy. It makes you someone who needs to grow and who needs to self-evaluate. And the film follows that process. Like, Judy realizes she has crossed a line. And it's not like, you know, we live in a world where on the internet, when someone does something like that, we just want to shut them out of our lives and be like, oh, I can't believe that actor said this, or I can't believe that politician said this. I'm just not going to deal with them anymore. But the film acts in a much more realistic sense where she can't just not deal. She has to figure out, like, okay, I've made a mistake. Where did I go wrong? Why did I go wrong? How do I do better? And following that process, I think, allows not just for a really interesting and sophisticated movie for kids, but also for a basis of discussion where you can talk to your children about these kind of things.
It's really, I mean, it explicitly says that understanding other people and being empathetic towards other people is something that you have to work at. I mean, it, yep, is a much more nuanced, sophisticated, but also completely understandable way of talking about the issue than a lot of other kids' movies will be like, everyone should love each other, be yourself, la 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 la, mm-hmm, which is true. But I mean, this for me was more like a Paranorman, which Paranorman took like an anti-bullying message,
yeah,
and like added nuance to it.
And like, this also shows you what happens when you go too far into, you know, because there's levels of racism, as we all know. And it's also really interesting that this movie comes out right now with Super Tuesday and with all the politics going on, to see a movie like this that says we need to recognize recognize and celebrate not only our differences, but that other people make mistakes, and that, you know, we all make mistakes. So that's something we have in common, and we should be patient of and encouraging of in each other finding the way past those mistakes.
It's not that the movie lets people off the hook for these mistakes. I feel like one thing that is really off about the way that some people, that a lot of us kind of think about and deal with race, is that we think, you know, I'm not a racist, therefore things I do aren't racist. So when you fuck up, people get really defensive, you know, like, you know, I'll be like, oh, you know, like, I have black friends, like, I don't have a racist bone in my body, like, I would never do something racist or say, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm an ACLU member, I could never.
Sorry, yeah, you're offended.
Right. But I feel like in Zootopia, they have this really powerful message of, like, you know, it's not like, yeah, okay, we all fuck up sometimes, but what's important, what's really revealing about who you are is how you respond to it, whether you learn and move on, whether you, like, whether you make a genuine apology, whether you make a genuine effort to understand, and whether you try to make things right.
It occurs to me this is kind of like Unfriended in that sense.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Huh.
Go back and listen to our Unfriended episode, which is a horror movie that has virtually nothing to do with Zootopia, but it actually handles the same thing in the same way, where something really terrible can come from an innocent mistake, or at least a not very thought out mistake.
Slightly more pessimistic approach. Yeah,
yeah, it's a different movie. It's not one you should probably show your children, your young children. Though I would say show Unfriended to your teenagers. Back on track with Zootopia.
Yes.
Another thing I really liked about this is the sheer spectacle. Like, it is a beautiful movie. The textures of the fur all look not photoreal, because I don't really like when animation does photoreal in an animated movie. I like when they have their own feel, and this movie feels lived in, and it has all these cool, like, the metropolis of Zootopia has all these really little ethnic enclaves where there's, like, little Rodentia, where all the little animals are super small, and there's, like, a Sahara place and a rainforest place, and it allows us to go on this really exciting adventure around the world when it's only around this, like, one very cool city.
There are lots of cute little details, like the hamsters have these hamster businessmen have these, like, little hamster, like, tubes to get around.
I didn't even think about that.
They have, and then they have, like, for example, you see, like, there's, like, a smoothie stand run by, like, some kind of really small animal, but he's, like, serving a giraffe, so they have this, like, whole system of, like pulleys and levers to, like, get the smoothie up to where the giraffe can drink it. It's just, like, it's full of tiny little details like that, that despite the fact that the actual concept of Zootopia makes no sense if you think about it for 2 seconds in real life and real animals, I mean, like, it convinces you while you're living in the world that it's, like, a thought-out place, that, like, they've paid attention to, like, every little detail, that it feels real, and it feels like such a good idea for an amusement park, which I am sure Disney has noticed.
Yeah. I feel like they're waiting to see the returns on this to decide how big that park will be, but I would go to there. And I also, like, they set up for the ability of a sequel, because of course they do, it's a Disney movie. But the chemistry between Judy and Nick, the bunny and the fox, is so good that I totally want a sequel. I want their continued cop adventures.
It's kind of like Finn and Rey.
Yeah.
Well, because there's, like, the plucky, like, energetic one, and then kind of, like, the world-wise, morally. Like,
I mean, it's a Jason Bateman role. It's cynical. Jason Bateman doing the Jason Bateman thing.
And Jennifer Goodwin is Shipper Jennifer Goodwin.
Yeah, they're perfectly cast, and I really like the physicality the animators brought into it. It all felt so real in its emotions and in its, like, grounding of the story, that I just wanted to hang out in Zootopia. I was sad when the movie was over. The only thing I don't get about the movie is the movie acts like Shakira is a really big get, and I don't understand. We spent so much time where they're like, the gazelle, and it's like Shakira voicing a gazelle who dances and sings, and there's so much time to it, and I'm like, is Shakira, like, a much bigger deal everywhere else, or am I just not up on the music scene?
I think she is. I mean, in Latin American countries, I think she's still.
So maybe that's more for an overseas thing. It's like, it's fine, but it was just like, they keep going back to it, and I'm like, okay?
Usually when an animated movie sells, like, you know, promotes a pop star that heavily, it's usually someone that's a little bit hotter, like. Again, I have no complaints about Shakira's work in the movie or anything, and unlike some people on the internet who hate the song, I think it's fine. It doesn't offend me.
It's cute. It's like a seventh grade girl song, but it's fine.
Her character could have been like completely cut out, but if Disney wants to put in like a peppy song, like it's Disney.
That's Judy fine. Needed like a Judy needed like a jogging soundtrack to play when she came into the city. That's basically what happens. It's like the, you know, it's the,
she's
it's
not
the
jogging. She's riding a train.
No, she's not. But I feel like that's a jogging song.
Oh,
well, you're imagining like staying alive, strutting down the.
Yeah, it's like, or like, you know, who run the world? It's like one of those songs where you're just like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take
try
on the
everything.
City. Yeah. But yeah, let me see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else in this we want to get into. Oh, I also enjoyed that there's a bunch of just weird references. Like there's a reference to Breaking Bad and several to Frozen. It's just really kind of fun to pick them out.
You can tell there was like a lot of enthusiasm went into the design elements. Like this movie was just made by a whole bunch of nerds.
Yes. So and I mean, and in the best way, like it just feels really thought out.
One of the characters is an extended Godfather homage that, like, you're just like, what is this doing in a kid's movie? But it really fucking works. It reminds me of how when I was a kid, I would watch, like, Animaniacs, and it wasn't until years later that I realized that Goodfeathers were, like, a reference to anything. Kids are going to have moment with Zootopia and, like, the mob, Mr. Big, the mob boss.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, so... I think we're about times to wrap up. So does anybody have any last thoughts on Zootopia?
I think that Disney is, I think Disney is in the middle of a run that's as good as that run they had in the mid-90s that everyone called the Disney Renaissance. And I think that this is maybe the best movie to come out of it. The smartest and maybe the most enjoyable, honestly.
Yeah, Pixar's definitely keeping them on their toes. That competition is...
No, it's the other way around these days. Disney is keeping Pixar on their toes.
Yeah, I have to say, like, that's wild to me. I definitely like this better than Good Dinosaur, which is saying nothing, but I think I liked it better than Inside Out. I just thought this was really fun and inventive in a way I didn't see coming. And yeah, Disney's killing it with their CGI movies lately, and I thought this was beautiful and funny. I would recommend this to anybody with kids, and honestly, I would recommend it to just anybody who enjoys a funny, you know, thoughtful movie.
Yeah, anybody who's ever wanted to just see Idris Elba playing a water bison?
He really sells being a water buffalo.
Yeah.
It turns out that being like a police chief who is also a water buffalo is the role he was born to play. Just like it turns out that being a like a sly fox is apparently the role that we've all just been waiting for Jason Bateman to play this whole time. The casting in this is just, again, just so good.
And Chris Hemsworth was born to play the sexy secretary.
Yeah.
Okay, to be clear, that's in Ghostbusters.
Wouldn't it be amazing, though? I wish that had just popped by, or for some reason he's just... I bet you there's voice cameos in here that we just didn't pick up the first time.
Well, Kristen Bell has one. Kristen Bell plays, like, she has two words, literally two words, because she voices a sloth at the DMV. And
she's the one in the clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the one in the clip where like the one sloth like turns to his coworker and then she's like, yes, and like that's her. And the apparently the way they cast her is just like they were like, well, we need someone to say these two words, and someone was like, hey, have you guys seen that like Kristen Bell sloth clip from Ellen? And then they watched it and then they emailed Kristen and was like, you wanna come in and say two words? And she was like,
that's exactly the thing I'm talking about. Like there's like Easter eggs that nerdy. Where not only do you need to be able to recognize Kristen Bell's voice, you need to know that she gets so excited about sloths that she weeps. that really worked for me. I was very surprised. I've seen a lot of movies this week and that's still my favorite.
It's what I would be surprised if it didn't end up on my top 10 at the end of the year. But I mean, we've still got a lot of year left, so we'll see.
Well, Pixar,
bring it on, 2016. See if you can top Zootopia.
Finding Dory, good luck.
Yeah. Right.
So I think that's everything from us this week. So you know, you can find us at popcornprosecco.com. We're on YouTube, Popcorn Prosecco. You can find us on iTunes, and please subscribe. That's super helpful. If you want to leave a review, that would be great. And we're all over the web, so let's give our sign-offs. Angie, you want to start?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And Rebecca, tell us where people can find you on the internet.
You can find me on Twitter at RebeccaPahle, and I write for Film Journal International and Pajiba.
And I, as always, am all over the internet, but you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com, and I'm on Twitter at Christy Puchko, KristyPuchko, and you can find us at Popcorn Prosecco on Twitter. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next week, and Perry will be too. The Pat!